Welcome to the Creative Classroom Podcast. I am your host, John Spencer. I'm a former middle school teacher. I'm a current college professor, and I am passionate about seeing teachers transform their classrooms into bastions of creativity and wonder. To my core, I believe that teachers are critical for helping students reach their creative potential. And so that's what we talk about on this podcast. And before we get started, I just want to share a word from our sponsors, Wipebook. It's Wipebook. I always fail to pronounce the P because I have West Coast accent, which tends to be a little bit on the lazy side with pronunciation. But it is Wipebook. So let's share it. Are flip charts a part of your teacher toolkit for distance learning? Cool, but the problem with conventional flip charts is this. Number one, they are awfully expensive. And number two, they are not eco-friendly. One use and they are done. Check out this cost-effective and interesting alternative that we just recently tested called the Wipebook flip chart. It is a marriage between a conventional flip chart and a whiteboard. And it comes in 20 surfaces per set, 10 double-sided sheets, one side plain and the other side a graph, you know, for all you math folks. Each sheet is 2 feet by 3 feet. It also integrates with the free Wipebook Scan app, which you can download from the App Store or Google Play so that you can digitize and share your work to Google Drive and other popular cloud storage options. For all you teachers that are tired of wasting paper and want to give Wipebook Flipchart a try as either a reusable flipchart or a whiteboard alternative, you can check out wipebook.com/creativeclassroom for up to 30% off your first purchase. They sent this to me and I absolutely love it. I've been using it in my class. I've been using it with the trainings that I do with teachers at the K-12 level. I just love being able to make the thinking visible. I love being able to make charts and graphs when I want to, but I can also sketch things, you know, like you would on a whiteboard, and then do vocabulary like you would on a flip chart. And so I use it all the time. I love it. I think it's a great tool for virtual learning. It also is a great tool for a physical classroom when you're doing, you know, blended learning or you're doing hybrid learning, especially those of you who have kind of both at the same time. So check it out again, wipebook.com/creativeclassroom. So we often talk about what it means to be creative in the classroom. But today I want to talk about finding renewal on your winter break, because rest and renewal are vital for the creative work that is required to be a teacher. Now, I still remember my first winter break in my first year of teaching. I scratched out Christmas Eve and Christmas as my days off, but then I worked the rest of the time. I read 2 books on teaching. I took home a giant box full of papers to grade. I planned out my first 3 weeks of lesson plans. Now, don't get me wrong. I did this leisurely between cups of coffee and more cups of coffee and, well, more coffee. And to be honest, I enjoyed it. I had fun with this. But when I started back, I was ready to roll. I'd use my time productively. And then something happened in late January. I felt restless and tired. I yearned for a break, not just from my classroom, but from the daydreaming of projects and incessant lesson planning in my own head. I needed that space, that break. I wanted to watch a movie and read a novel and go hang out with my friends. I needed to be unproductive. So a few months later, when I sputtered into spring break, I treated it like an actual break, a real break, a totally unproductive break. I gave myself the permission to avoid grading. I avoided professional books and blogs. I didn't feel an ounce of guilt from the people who complain that teachers have it easy and tell me about how much time I have off, which is not all that accurate. The reality is I needed this time to be a break. It's okay to rest. Actually, it's more than okay to rest. It's vital. When we rest, we are more energized for our students. We have creative breakthroughs by finding inspiration outside of our jobs. We are happier and healthier. So binge watch The Great British Bake Off. Go hiking, read books, drink coffee as slow as you'd like to. Take restroom breaks whenever you need them. Spend time with your loved ones. And don't let anyone make you feel guilty for rest. And this is especially true right now during the pandemic. We are experiencing collective trauma. We are facing huge challenges. And teachers have been strong and they've been supportive. But it's time for renewal and for rest. Teaching is exhausting. There's the sense of presence that you need, the constant energy that you bring, the give and take between students, the conflicts you have to navigate, the sense of pressure about the tests and the tension between what you believe about learning and the systems and what they require of you. This is especially true during this quarantine. Teachers have faced challenges of a constantly changing context. Some have shifted from virtual to hybrid and back to virtual again. Others have taught virtual lessons and spent 8 hours a day in front of a video screen talking to what often feels like a void of blank black screens. Educators have been experimenting and reinventing their teaching practice on a daily basis. They're moving through so many new iterations and trying to discover what works. And it can feel like being a new teacher all over again. Many teachers I talk to have described the challenges of teaching from home while having kids at home at the same time, or the difficulties in trying to keep work and life separate when the spaces are the same. Meanwhile, we've all experienced some level of trauma. Many teachers have lost loved ones to COVID or have faced huge financial hardships. Others have delayed their weddings, they've missed graduations, they've delayed visiting friends and families. Many of us are missing live music or going out on dates or dancing or sporting events. With the holidays approaching, I am sad that I won't get to see my family. And I wish I could give my mom a hug or hang out and watch football with my dad or have a pint with my brother or nerd out on books and TV shows with my sister. But none of that will happen this year. Even if you love teaching, chances are you feel drained right now. And it's more than simply exhaustion. It's often the perfectionism in teaching that can lead to unhealthy striving and a lack of contentment. It's an idea I explored a couple weeks ago in the podcast that was all about why you've done enough this semester. And I think it's important to realize that when teachers rest, we all win. People say that teaching is a marathon, and I think they're right. Even when you finish a marathon and you cross the finish line, you receive the medal, and you are crazy proud of what you've accomplished. But even then, you collapse on the ground in exhaustion. If you're fast, if you're slow, it doesn't matter. You are exhausted at the end. And that's winter break right there. I mention this because sometimes I see the narrative that good teachers are the ones who spend their summers in professional development or in committee planning sessions. I've seen the meme, the idea out there that somehow you're supposed to be spending the winter break doing professional reading and thinking about your students. And there's almost this guilt attached to doing less. And it's easy as teachers to get sucked into this martyr syndrome, believing that you have to selflessly give everything you have for your students. It's the superhero myth. And I believe that to my core, we don't need more superheroes. We need more Clark Kents who are out there doing their job. When we take this approach, we are more humble. We're more approachable. We don't feel the pressure on our shoulders to save the world, right? And I think it's important to recognize that martyrs aren't any good for kids. Kids need teachers who are energetic and patient. But this requires rest and restoration. Moreover, students need teachers who are passionate about the content that they're teaching, which is why it's a positive thing when teachers spend part of their break geeking out on history or math or science outside of just teaching. If we want kids to fall in love with reading, it helps to have teachers who spend part of their time off in fictional worlds or reading and geeking out on ideas. I mean, I'm telling you, I just read a book on modern monetary theory. I also read a book on the history of money. Neither of those deal with teaching, but ultimately, I know that they will help me become a better teacher because I'll be thinking about systems in different ways. I've been reading the 99% Invisible City book. I mean, I'm reading lots of different books. I'm getting into different types of fictions, and I'm going to be rereading magical realism and actually reading some old school YA literature like Rudolfo Anaya. And I'm doing this because I know that this time spent reading will actually make me better. It's important that we spend our time doing things where there's rest involved. Now, one of the books that's not about teaching that I read was called Rest. And in this, he suggests that we are actually more productive and more creative when we spend time resting. One of the things he gets into is this study that's all about professors and how much research that they published. And the professors who spend 40 plus hours doing scholarship and research actually have less research that they publish than those who spend about 5 to 10 hours a week on scholarship and research. And you see it all the time that rest is necessary. It's vital. It's a part of what allows you to make those synaptic connections between different ideas. We tend to think of rest as something where you're taking time off, right? But your brain's actually not taking time off. It's restoring itself, and it's highly active when we get out into nature and we take a hike, or when we take the dogs for a walk, because she's right there in the corner right now. Those times might seem like a waste of time, but it's actually exactly what makes us better at the craft of teaching. There's an article that was written a while ago, but I think it's about 4 years old now, and I think it's still really vital, where he says, according to research, the brain, and this is by Thomas Oppong, he says, according to research, the brain gradually stops registering a sight, sound, or feeling if that stimulus remains constant over time. You lose your focus and your performance on task declines. When faced with a long creative problem, it is best to impose brief breaks on yourself. Brief mental breaks will allow you to stay healthy and focused on the task and improve your idea generation approach. A structured downtime can help you do your best work. We tend to generate redundant ideas when we don't take regular breaks. Now, that's on a daily basis. But the truth is, bigger, longer breaks, where we find rest and renewal, actually allow us to create better, more creative ideas for the projects we're going to do with our students. I love this idea that we need rest. We need restoration. We need renewal. There's a great quote from Anne Lamott who says that visual, almost everything will work again if you unplug it for a few minutes, including you. And I think it's important that we take this time to unplug, to be less productive, to do less, and to rest more. So I want to share 7 strategies for finding renewal over winter break. Number 1, take some time for reflection. This can be tricky, but I found that it can be really helpful to take a day or half a day or even just an hour 2 mornings in a row and review student surveys, take an honest look at what's working, what's not working, what needs to be tweaked. If you're someone who spirals into guilt or feels shame easily, take a different approach. Do an end of the semester survey a little earlier, and then spend this time going over an activity where you list 30 things that went well this semester. In other words, ask yourself, where am I crushing it as a teacher? And make a list. Number two, take nothing home. Ditch the grading. Avoid the lesson planning. One of my teacher friends says that he works extra hard a few weeks before the break to make sure everything is ready for him the moment he comes back. His philosophy is to sprint the finish and spend a few extra hours on Monday and Tuesday a few weeks before, and then to go into the break well prepped so his materials and lessons are planned. It's not a bad idea. So the idea is just to not do any work, to just leave it at school. And it can be really hard to leave it at school. It's a discipline that you have to set up for yourself, but create tight parameters. And one of them is physically do not take that stuff home. Take your work email off of your cell phone if you have it on there, and log out of your browser on your computer. Number three, find inspiration from other domains. Read a book, watch a movie, go hiking, take a real vacation, although that's not very possible when it comes to COVID, but take a day trip, go out into nature, spend time doing what you love. Some of my favorite ideas have been inspired when I read unrelated books. I got into Genius Hour after reading about Google. I changed my feedback process after reading about Pixar. I love the book Creativity of Ink. It's fantastic. Shaped my thinking about how to do projects. I changed the way I give feedback to students after reading the book Radical Candor. I regularly reshape my design from reading books about UX design. In fact, just reading this book from 99% Invisible right now, it's got me excited about how to redesign structures in my classroom. I'm constantly being inspired by podcasts that I listen to as well. And so this is a chance to listen to that true crime podcast or to listen to something that's not like what you're listening to right now. I mean, you can listen to it. Please feel free to continue listening to my podcast. But go listen to something else that's not just a teacher podcast. Number four, keep a brainstorming space. Sometimes the slack you feel on your time off can lead to creative breakthroughs. You have that brilliant idea when you go to bed or when you're in the shower or when you're going on a walk. And for that reason, it can actually help to record those. You might have the voice memo app open on your phone, obviously not when you're taking a shower, but when you get out of the shower. Or, you know, in your car when you pull off into a parking lot. You might have a notepad where you jot down ideas for projects or lessons or activities you want to try out. And what I like about this is, by writing it down, it allows you to forget about it. So you're not actually making the lesson plan or the project, but you are writing those ideas down so you don't forget it. And sometimes having that space away from work actually allows for big creative breakthroughs and great ideas. And you can enter into a phase of ideation and maybe even a tiny bit of planning so that when you come back, you have this wealth of ideas that you can draw from. Number five, this is not going to shock you at all. Do something creative. Paint, draw, make, you know, friendship bracelets, crochet, whatever it may be. Do something that's truly creative outside the domain of teaching. I love to paint during my time off. I made these cool silhouettes of my kids playing sports. You know, my sons are both into baseball. My daughter does ballet. I have them hanging up in my office. But that's the idea. Do something creative. I'm planning to make a silly little dog comic strip during my time off here. And it's my creative outlet. It's my personal genius hour. Number six, spend time with people you love. Now, this is obvious, but spend time with people who you love. It's a chance to meet up with a friend via, you know, Zoom or Google Hangouts, since we can't hang out in person. But schedule those meetings, those video conferences with friends. And I know it sounds like, more Zoom meetings, more Hangouts, but I'm telling you, when it's not a bunch of black screens in front of you when there's no pressure, when it's two people having coffee long distance. It's a great way to reconnect. Spend time with your roommates or your family, whoever you're living with, and just spend time with them. I'm planning to, I just finished a Lego set. I'll probably do another Lego set with my son. I'll probably do Roblox with my daughter. I'm going to get into video games. I've never been much of a gamer, but my kids are kind of gamers, and I want to get into that to continue to connect with them. Idea number 7, practice mindfulness and meditation. I have a friend who taught for over 30 years and is now teaching again after being retired for a year. She's actually one of my favorite teachers. She's amazing. But she takes a part of the winter break to do meditation, practice mindfulness, and keep a journal. She schedules time at an abbey and treats it like an important business meeting that she will not leave. Now, I realize that right now you might not be able to go to an abbey to meditate. The rules might be a little bit different. But if you can create a quiet space for yourself, again, it could be out in nature. It could be in your garage, right? And just spend that time doing mindfulness, meditation. That's something that might work for you. Note that these aren't recipes or requirements. I can't do meditation or mindfulness. It just doesn't work for me. It actually kind of backfires and spurs anxiety. But for me, spending time with loved ones and doing creative work and having a brainstorm space, that's what works well for me. I'm probably not going to go hiking because it's like freezing cold outside and I can't do that right now. But for other people, getting out into nature and hiking is exactly what works well for them. So figure out what works best for you. The biggest thing is to just spend this time choosing rest and restoration and not feeling guilty for spending that time taking care of yourself. I love this. A friend of mine doesn't use the word self-care. She says self-care is a luxury. It sounds like a thing that you do. She said, shift the language from self-care to taking care of myself. And you would never say to someone, you shouldn't take care of yourself. You should say you should take care. Nobody would ever say don't take care of yourself. So what she was saying was great. I love it. She said, instead of calling it self-care, I'm going to call it taking care of myself. And I love that. So spend this time during the winter break. Spend a good chunk of it taking care of yourself and finding that rest and renewal and restoration. Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. Would you do me a favor? If you enjoy it, would you leave a review on Apple Podcasts or Stitcher or wherever you get your podcasts? Again, thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day and have a safe and healthy, happy holiday.